Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So this Palm Sunday, we call it this because of what happened in the Scripture. And I just want to read a couple of verses, share with you a few comments before we wrap up the service this morning and sing a closing hymn together. It's found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And so here goes this historical account that Luke wrote. And by the way, Luke was into details. He was a physician. You know, physicians like to get things right and details and pay attention and look at things a little differently than just, you know, the rest of us. And so he writes this and he says, "And as Jesus rode along, as he was on the colt coming into the city, that Jesus sat upon this colt. And as he started to ride into the city of Jerusalem, it says, they began to spread their cloaks on the ground. And he was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude, his disciples, began to rejoice, praise God, and with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen that Jesus had done in recent days. And they said, 'Hosanna in the highest,' or 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" And so this is the image of Jesus riding into the city, coming into the city for the Passover, the week of Passover, and coming into the weekend where we know what we call a weekend, where Jesus is crucified, dead and buried, and then, of course, Resurrection Day, which we will celebrate next Sunday, Easter Sunday. We invite you to come and be a part of this. Bring family, bring friends. If you are not at a home church somewhere, we just love to have you come and visit and be with us for this great celebration of what Christ has done for you and I. So here is the scene where Jesus is riding in, and they are laying down palm branches. They are laying down their cloaks, when Jesus himself is actually going into the city to lay down his life. And so he rides in and he's being treated like a king. But as the week unfolds, we see that he goes one moment from being treated like a king to being treated like a criminal. Because criminals, they were crucified. And so one moment Jesus is being exalted, but the experience of that week turns out that he dies the death of a criminal, and yet he's not guilty. Not like you and I. You and I have committed sin. He was without it. It was quite a week for him. So many things that went on, but all of them had purpose. And he rides in for a week where he's going to be, you know, betrayed by Judas, right? One of his 12, one of his own, betrays him. Another, Peter, he denies Jesus. Jesus goes in and once again goes from king to criminal. You know, it's interesting about humanity, isn't it? You probably experienced this a little bit in your own life along the way, whether you were part of the crowd or it happened to you personally, you know, where one moment people praise you and compliment you and, you know, you're just wonderful and you're the it person. And then short after, it's like they're ready to stone you. You do something that maybe they don't understand or it disappoints them. Of course, Jesus, you know, he didn't make those kind of sins you and I do. But, you know, one moment you're being treated like a king or queen. You're receiving some praise. You played a great football game back in the day. Back in ancient history for you and I. And the next game, you couldn't throw off a blocker, you couldn't make a tackle, you couldn't complete a pass. And all of a sudden, the crowd is like, bring somebody else in. Who's this guy? We can't stand him, right? Jesus goes through this, all this, with this betrayal, this denial, this turning of the crowd against him. They went from saying Hosanna in the highest, and just days later, now they're yelling, crucify him. All of it had purpose, and Christ laying down his life for you and I, for all humanity. You know, in Romans chapter 5, it says that sin came in, listen, sin came in to the world through one man, Adam. He sinned. And we are in the lineage somewhere now through all the generations, you know. But that corrupt humanity, that one disobedience, now those spiritual genes are in us when we're born. Because our parents sinned, and they come from grandparents who sinned and great-grandparents, and then, you know, we're born into it. And the moment we are born into sin, there's this need for you and I. There's a need for a Savior. Somebody come save me. I can't save myself because I'm born of guilty blood. And Jesus, he's the only begotten Son of God. And so here's the sad part. Sin came through one man, Adam, and affects all humanity. But now in Romans chapter 5, it says this. But redemption came through one man, Jesus Christ. One man came to redeem us all, to pave the way for you and I. And so this triumphal entry of coming in, it seemed triumphant. It ends in crucifixion. But you know what? It is triumphant for us. You know, as Jesus rode into the city, it says there in verse 41 of the same chapter, it said as he rode in, he looked at the city, he beheld it, because he knew it was ahead of him, and it says he wept, not for himself. It says that he wept because he looked at the city, and he said, if you only knew, in other words, the people, if they only knew what it would take for him to bring peace, make peace between them and God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, there's a couple of times where Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem for the people because they were rejecting God. They wouldn't come to faith. They got wrapped up in religion, got wrapped up in their own life. It's, you know, time has passed, but it's pretty much the same old problem for all of us. And where we don't pay attention or listen to the voice of God, the love of God, we look at how hard this life is, and we take these circumstances we face and try to look through them to see God rather than looking through faith and God and looking at our circumstance. It brings a totally different perspective. And it helps us navigate through this life that can be very hard. It's a reason he came. Is to redeem us, to save us, not just for eternity, but to help us in this life. That's who he is. Listen, he's not for our sin, but I'll tell you what, he sure is for you. He is, he's for you. And we can look sometimes at this life and think, if there was a God up there, why in the world does this happen? And I want to suggest that maybe we're looking at this backwards. Though sin brought these hardships into our life, Jesus came to solve it. But maybe we should look at the hardships we face in this life, and rather than scrutinizing God, maybe the hardships we face in this life should cause us to think, boy, I am in need of someone to come and save me. The hardships in this life, the difficulties, the pain, all the things that are a result of just sin existing, that we should really think, I need a Savior. Jesus rides in, and he looks at the city, and he wept because he knew the price he would have to pay to make peace between humanity and God, to remove the effects of sin that keep us from God, and now an opportunity to bring us back together. Through that kindness, mercy, and grace, it also gives us a responsibility to respond to that opportunity for me and my life. And so, as Jesus sat and looked at the city and wept, he sat and he surveyed. I want to suggest for you and for myself, wherever we're at in life, wherever you're at today, that you would consider taking a moment somewhere in your life. And I don't know if it's driving the vehicle down the road. I don't know if it's out in the shop or the garage or in the kitchen or wherever it is, on a walk, on your Harley, wherever it is. If you're driving your Harley, don't close your eyes. You can just talk to God with your eyes open. Just a little side tip. But you take a place somewhere in your life. Maybe it's out at the workbench. And as Jesus sat and surveyed, that maybe you and I could do the same. We could pause for a moment and we could survey our life like he surveyed the city. That you and I could look at our life and say, you know, are things really right between God and I? Maybe we're at a place like, I don't even know about if I really believe in Jesus. Isn't it time that we just quit living behind these things without coming out and just tearing those aside and saying, you know, and just be honest, say, God, maybe you're at this place where, God, I know that I don't know you. I know that my daily life is not steered by you. I steer it. I make choices. But if you are really the Jesus of the gospel and you really came to redeem, I don't want to miss it. I don't want the end of my life to be a pop quiz and then I go, I don't know. And you're left to guess. But between here and that time in our life, if we would just stop and survey and say, God, I want to get to know you. I want to read the scripture. I need you to help me understand it. There's some things I've assumed that are true that maybe aren't correct. Maybe there's some things I heard from people who are supposed to be spiritual and know, so I just assumed what they were saying was right. But let him walk through these pages with you. Talk to him. Come clean with him. He initiated a relationship. That is so hard to do when somebody doesn't respond. Right? Have you ever had that happen with a friend or a stranger or your spouse maybe? You walk in and you go, hi. And they don't say hi back. They almost act like you're not there. That's pretty hard to have a relationship at the moment when someone doesn't acknowledge you back. He's initiated something with you and with me. God sent him for us. He's acknowledged us. Would you stop? Would you survey? Take some moments here and there and respond to him. Talk to him. listen. He's going to talk to you. He's going to give you some revelation. He's going to quicken some thought within you. It's his Holy Spirit at work, because, you see, why would he do all that? Simple. You matter. Turn to a couple people next to you and say, you matter to God. Say it. You matter to. Say it. Say it. I'm watching you up in the booth. I'm watching. You matter to him. You matter to him. Thank you. I was waiting for someone. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, you matter to him. You matter to him. I want you to walk out with that this morning. But you matter to him. He knows your history. You think, oh, I don't matter to him. If you know how dark my past was. Listen, I don't need to know how dark your past was. I have my own past. We don't need to be dealing with somebody else's dark past. Here's the beauty. Darkness always dissipates when the light shows up. It says, walk in the light as he is in the light. And he knows how to shine brightly. And his word becomes this lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path as we journey through this life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.